Scripture reading this morning is taken from Ezekiel chapter 22 and reading verses 23 to 31. Ezekiel 22, reading verses 23 to 31. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, You are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor needy, and they are wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I shall not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we began last week to turn our minds and thoughts to a new season of ministry. And we began by looking at the responsibilities that we have close to home, our families, our church. And we made the point that to be witnesses to the world, we cannot do that if we don't take care of things at home. If we don't care for those that are immediately around us, those that are related to us, those that are in our own church, those that we see day by day and rub shoulders with whom we share our lives, then if there isn't any motivation and concern to be concerned about that area and those people, then how can we ever be motivated to help others that we don't know? How can we ever be motivated to make any kind of sacrifice or any kind of effort to interact with those that are further afield as far as we are concerned? So we emphasize that. And we said that as parents, we need to begin at home with respect to the gospel. If the gospel is so precious as we claim that it is, then surely we cannot bypass our own children. Surely we can't bypass our own relatives and not share it with them and go share it with everyone else around. Not that that's likely to happen. Because there was a, what about us? Didn't you care about us? So the encouragement and the charge from God's word is that we do take care of those things. That's why when some were healed and were so eager and full of zeal that they really wanted to carry on following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ said no. I mean, not that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need followers and doesn't need people to go further afield, but that's not the norm. And so he sends them back to their own villages, to their own cities, not to do nothing, but to work there. And so we can't forget that. We can't forget our own church. We can't forget our own children. I mean, what would our children think anyway if the church, if we as individuals, parents, are so involved in the church in terms of outreach, and we're gone every night of the week, and we have no time for them. I mean, how in the world are they going to take this gospel seriously? And if those that we are taking the gospel to know about our home life, then they're going to say, why in the world would we want to become part of your family? You ignore them. As soon as you get us in, you're going to ignore us too. Same with the church. If people in the church don't feel loved and cared for, then they're not wholeheartedly in favor of reaching out others, because they're going to say, well, what's the point? That they'll bring others into the church and they'll ignore them just like they ignore us. No. We need to have, as a first priority, that we take care of those that are in our own families. As a first priority, we take care of those that God has given to us in terms of our church, the members of the church. And so that cannot be forgotten, otherwise we get out of balance with what God calls us to do as a church, and it only damages the church. But that being said, and keeping all of those things in mind, this week we move on to the fact that we cannot remain in the bounds of the church. Not that we spend a few moments here and then we go out, we do nothing here. No, we can't simply just do that. We have to keep doing that, but we have to move beyond that as well. We have other responsibilities. And that's what brings us to the whole area of outreach. That we are not insular churches. We're not saying, oh, you know, we have it and that's all we care about and who cares about the world? Let the world take care of itself. No, no, no. Otherwise, we fail to understand and take into account the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are to go into all the world. That we are light. That we are salt. That we are to have an impact upon this world in regards to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And we need to ask ourselves that question. Why does the Lord not take us, the moment that we're saved, take us out of this world? I mean, it's a nasty place to live. I mean, the world is hostile towards us. The world doesn't appreciate Christianity. We irritate them. And they persecute us in many different ways. So why didn't the Lord just take us out of the world the moment that we're saved? Precisely because of this reason. That he wants us to be light and salt of the world. He wants us to take the gospel into all the world. And who better suited to do that than those that have been saved from the world? Those that know the way of the world. Those that know the dangers. Because we personally have experienced those ourselves. Dangers of sin, that is. And to call others and be examples to them of the transformation that the God is able to bring into our hearts through the gospel, by his Holy Spirit, through the word of God, to make us in his image. And so that is a heavy burden. That is a difficult task that God gives to us. It's not easy for us. Yes, we enjoy life in this world, but the opposition that we have, the heartache that we have of living in a sinful world and all that we see should be a burden to us. If it's not, then it's because we've become too comfortable. We've become desensitized. But nevertheless, though we are pressured, though we are persecuted, as Paul says, we don't give up hope, we don't become depressed. Why? Because there's a purpose for us. We're reaching out to others so they would hear the gospel. And so that's a responsibility that we have to take seriously as well. We need to keep things in balance, as I will mention. But those two areas, in a sense, cover what our purpose is in this life. That we help one another, we encourage one another, we are there to support one another, see one another grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, protect one another from the world, but also to bring the gospel to the world. To bring others in from that danger. The passage before us then highlights some of these truths. That there was a danger that these people were in. And the Lord is speaking to the people. He's telling Ezekiel to tell the people of these dangers, that they are a land that is not cleansed. They're a land that is polluted. There's a land that is filled with disobedience. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how they should live. They're living in opposition to God Himself. And that's the state of the world. If it was the state of the Israelite, it's certainly the state of the world around us. The way that people just trample over the Word of God, the way that they taunt Christianity, the way that they demean the Bible and demean God's people. They don't care about the law of God. They trash it. They trash it blatantly. I mean, society, at least in the past generations, at least had a veneer of respect for God's word, God's law. But now it's everyone encourages one another to become more and more blatantly rebellious to God's law. That is nothing to set aside God's law, even though it's clearly 180% degrees opposite the Word of God. And yet they say it. And society said it. And there's no stigma attached to these things. Because enough voices say it, the more acceptable it becomes. So things haven't really changed that much from Ezekiel's day. That's the way people are. That's why Romans 3 speaks about the nature of the unregenerate. There is no fear of God. They don't respect His law. They go against it. They make their own rules, as they say. But the Bible teaches us that they are under the wrath of God. Though they don't realize it, though they don't fear it, they are under the wrath of God. The apostate will never escape the condemnation of God. And so that's the way the world is where we live. It's people that are dying. People that are under the wrath of God. And that wrath isn't in its fullness. It is going to increase and increase until it does reach that final stage where God condemns them eternally. But I mean, that should send shivers down our spine. The worst of the people that irritate us, our enemies, when we think of that time, that ought to, as I said, send shivers down our spine. We don't want that for anyone. Our worst enemy we would not want to stand before God's throne of grace and to be sent away for eternity. A terrible indictment. So whoever you see, however despicable people are to your eyes, don't turn away. Don't say, oh, they deserve whatever they get. You don't know what they're going to get. Otherwise, you wouldn't speak that way. No, we need to have mercy. We need to reach out to them. They are in dire need. And the sadness is, of what Ezekiel goes on to say, and the Lord tells him to say, is it the very people that God had put forward as a help to the people weren't doing their job? Weren't doing their job. I mean, God was concerned about His people. He didn't just give them the truth of the gospel as a nation and say, well, there you go, you're fine, now get on with it. No. He put measures in place to guard them. So not only did they receive the gospel themselves, personally, individually, but also he placed people, offices, ordained offices, so that they had prophets, they had priests, they had kings, all of which were responsible to God, all of which were to serve to preserve God's people. And he lists each and every one of them. They didn't do their job. They just took care of themselves. They took the easy way out, as it were. And so he speaks about them. The prophets, he says, they speak lies rather than God's word. They speak lies. And you may think, well, for what reason? I mean, what gain do they receive by speaking lies? Well, they don't get the opposition of the people. If you tell people what they want to hear, they're going to like you. That's what people like. Leaders like to be accepted. They like to be praised. So if you're going to stand against people and speak the truth, God's truth, you're going to get opposed. They're not going to like you. They don't want to listen to you. They might even get angry and want to get rid of you. Which is what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the prophets. I mean, what prophets didn't your people kill? Right? They rejected what the prophets said. The true prophets, that is. But there were many false prophets that told them the things that they wanted to hear. The priests did the same thing. The priests blurred the demarcation line between the way that God's people ought to act and behave and the way that the world behaves, the clean and the unclean. And they blurred that distinction. And so it's hard to tell for the people. The lines were blurred, and we have that today. We have that today because if you ask ministers, for example, or you look at churches, and you try and form those solid and clear lines of how we should behave out there, it's very blurred. He mentions the Sabbaths, for example. I mean, how is it that the church ought to act, and how is it that the world acts? Surely there should be a marked difference between them. But you know as well as I do, that's not the case. That's not the case. That's if you look at the people. But let's go beyond the people. Where are they getting it from? Are they hearing it from the pulpits that it ought to be this way and just disregarding it? Or are they being encouraged from the pulpits, either by their silence? In other words, giving them license to do those things. And certainly it's that. It is partly that. The churches don't say anything about those things. And so that does blur the lines between the two. And there's no surprise then, given the pressure from the world to make the Sabbath into every other day of the week, given all of that pressure, and the lack of clarity from the church's leaders, that it's no wonder that large parts of the church treat the Sunday as any other day. But that's just one example. There are many other areas of our lives that we can raise as illustrations of this blurring of the lines. So that was a failure on the part of these leaders, part of the princes as well, the kings as it were. I mean, if you start reading the lives of the kings and the way that they acted, it's no wonder the country was going down that route. I mean, even our great King David, not that we can say generally his life was no good, it was like everyone else, it wasn't. He was a man after the heart of God himself. But nevertheless, even he fell in a drastic way. So these measures that God had put in place for the care of his people were failing. Because those that he put in that position failed to do their job. Because of all kinds of reasons, as I said. The praise of people or even profit. But there's a price to pay when we do that. There's a wrath of God that comes down on his people. They went off into exile for 70 years because they didn't listen to God. That the lack of obedience by the offices and officers that God had put into place led to 70 years of exile and all the misery that it brought. A downturn, as it were. And that can happen to the church. That lack of commitment, lack of clear leadership will lead to a certain time period of weakness and to a certain extent irrelevance as far as the church is concerned. We can't go into those times. And so God is not happy with that. God is not pleased with that. And God speaks about his wrath as one who will destroy and consume by fire. John the Baptist understood that as well when he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he goes on to warn them that there are consequences of disregarding what he's saying. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Hebrews says the same thing. Hebrews 10 verse 30 to 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So there are dire consequences. If leaders don't do what they ought to do, and furthermore, that we as Christians individually don't play our part in terms of being light and salt. So what does God do? Well, in this passage it says God looks for someone. He looks for a man. He seeks someone that will serve as a mediator, as a guardian. Someone that will cry out on behalf of the people. Someone that will stand in between the wrath of God and God's people. And serve to bring about peace, to bring about reconciliation, to turn God's wrath away rather than for that wrath to run its course on the people. God doesn't take pleasure in bringing wrath upon his people or, for that matter, on the world. God cares for the world. And so he sends leaders in the church, as well as us as a church, as witnesses to the world. He's seeking someone. Seeking you. Seeking me. Perhaps on different levels in terms of offices in the Old Testament, but both offices and God's people had a calling in this regard. That together we work as witnesses to the world. Not only did he seek for someone, but he sought for a man. That's not to say females are not part of it, no, man in general. He sought for human beings. I mean, what an amazing fact that is, that he chooses us to be witnesses. Fickle as we are. But nevertheless, we are the workmanship of his hands. We are living examples of what God by his word and by his spirit is able to do. We are living examples of the power of God unto salvation through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so appropriate that God uses us. it radiates confidence and comfort and assurance for those that are drowning. Because they can see the results. They can see that we were just like them. And now look what God has done. Not perfect, but nevertheless, there's a world of difference between them and us. And so we ourselves are part of the message. Not only what we say, but who we are encourages them towards the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God doesn't give up. I mean, the terrible world in which we live, or for that matter, churches that are not as faithful as they should be, we don't turn away from them. We don't hold our noses and pass by and say, oh, we don't want anything to do with them. That's our responsibility. I mean, if you come into contact with the world and you can't bear it, there's something wrong. Because the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't bear you either. You were terrible as well. You were ugly. You were something that was obnoxious to him. Yet, he didn't turn away. He came down to earth to save us. Sometimes we get a wrong view of ourselves. We may say it in terms of theory that we're just like the world. We're no good. But we really don't mean it. We really don't mean it. Paul meant exactly what he says. I'm the chief of sinners. I was terrible. I was absolutely garbage. That's who I was. And God came to me. For what reason? God so loved the world. So it is true that there is in the world people that are despicable, people that are terrible. You don't want to go anywhere near to them. Prostitutes and sinners. But how will they be saved? If our Lord would go near them, why wouldn't you? And we were dealing with that in our Bible study last week. If Jesus washed his disciples' feet, what is it about you that puts you beyond that? Christ came into this world and he was criticized for going to prostitutes and sinners. Don't let there be any category of people in this world that you say, I don't want anything to do with them. No. No. Not to condone what they're doing, you understand? Absolutely not. But to bring the word of God to them. That's what God is looking for. People like that. People like that. To bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a willing vessel, even though he faced death every day. Yet he was a vessel, a chosen vessel. Sometimes we have people that don't, and we've looked at that before. Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Those despicable people. And yet, that's where he needed to go. To speak to them about the mercy and the compassion of God. Moses stood there, remember, between the Israelites and God's wrath, even on Mount Sinai when God was going to destroy the people and do it a different way through Moses. And Moses pleaded and stood before the wrath of God and the Israelites. That's what God wants. Not just for you to go to them, but you to go to them with a care for them. Wanting them to be saved. Just as if they were your own children. I mean, how much we are willing to bear when it comes to our own children. How many failures are we willing to bear and still go to them? That's the way that we need to go to the world. Caring for them, wanting them. So that judgment would be averted. That they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what ought to compel us. That's what ought to drive us. Is that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that the case anyway? Why would that happen? It only happens because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this treasure that we have. This treasure that we've tasted. This wonderful gospel that has dominated our lives, that has brought light and life into every area of our life, transformed us in a way that we would never have imagined. We are living proof. We've tasted of the good gift. We know its power. That's what we want them to see and experience. That the Lord Jesus Christ, as despicable as they are, and the wrath that they deserve, rightly deserve from God, God has taken away through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to them and saying, be more holy, give up that, then you can come in. No, that's not the message that we're going there with. We're going with a message that says, all of your filthy deeds that you have done, they are forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for you. Christ suffered for you so that you would not have to suffer. And how is it that it becomes theirs? Well, it's certainly not through work. It's not certainly not through effort. It's simply through faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Forsake your old ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's all. We don't ask them to pay money. We don't ask them to live exactly the way we do. No, we simply ask them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will begin that work. He will regenerate them. He will give them a new heart. He will give them a new mind. He will give them Himself. That by His Spirit, they will be changed people. And He will be the one that will preserve them. He was the one that takes care of them. Every good tree will bear fruit because He will not fail. Sometimes we think it's us. We have to do it. We have to control them. We have to command them. We have to force them almost. We have to threaten them. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you really believe in the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will simply preach the gospel and encourage them. The Holy Spirit can do His work in them just as He's done it in you. Trust God's work. Going into the world is a big task. And taking care of home is a big task as well. And so let's just end with these thoughts. You are an instrument in God's hands. You're not in charge. You're not in charge. The whole thing is not in your hands. So don't take that into your as a responsibility that you have to bear. You will never be able to bear that responsibility. And you will make all kinds of mistakes if you think that you do. And you try and get to that end. You are an instrument in God's hands. God has ordained leaders that He sends. He has the churches that He operates through. And you also as individuals. All of that is orchestrated by God, not by you. Just do your part. Don't take on more responsibility than God has given you. Each soldier in the army isn't given the whole plan, is he? The secretary sends an email to every soldier. This is what we're going to do, people. This is the overall plan. So get ready, memorize it. No, all they have to do is do their part. That's what we have to do as the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is in full control of all of His church. And so you just need to do what He gives you to do. We as a church ought to do what we have in our capacity to do. We can't go into all the world. We can't send a missionary to every nation in the world. We just don't have him. So we do what God gives us opportunity to do. But we trust with all of our heart and mind that He'll take care of everything else as well. So let us trust Him. Let us be instruments in His hands and not the master plan organizers. And as we do that part, people of God, then God will be pleased with us because we've taken care of our homes. In other words, we're working in our homes and we're working among those that God gives us openings and opportunities. That's what God asks of you. Stand in the breach for those that God gives you occasion to know. and tell them about the gospel. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you are always working in this world to the end of bringing and gathering your people into your church and protecting and preserving and perfecting them day by day. And our Father in heaven, it is a big task, and at times can be a discouraging task from our point of view when we see the world by and large rejecting the gospel. And sometimes we think that the church is going down rather than succeeding. But our Father, we know that is false, that you are accomplishing your purposes. And all we want to do is to play our part and do it faithfully. And we pray, therefore, that you would open our eyes to the needs all around us, in our own homes, in our own neighborhoods, among our relatives, among our acquaintances, and among all those that you give us opportunity to move and to encounter. And our Father in heaven, we pray that the gospel and its power may be at the very forefront of our minds, that we communicate to the world what you have done, and that we stand as those that want to act as mediators for them, guarding them from your wrath, from your anger, by bringing to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless us in this season, bless our families, bless our church, and Lord, bless our witness, and cause your church to grow. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.